Parables. Amen. You know a story is a parable, or a parable is a story, don't you? Huh? Amen. And when Jesus came to his own country, just for the sake of the cassette ministry, I'll call it when Jesus comes home. Amen. What a homecoming Jesus had. Let's look and see what a homecoming Jesus had. And he taught them in their synagogue. That's the same one he got thrown out of just a few months back. Amen. They took him to the brink of the hill to throw him over the hill. Amen. Insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom? Where did he get this wisdom? And these mighty works, where did he get this?" And then they begin to tear him down. Amen. "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Answer is yes. Amen. Fellow had a bumper sticker on his car, said, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." Amen. How many kind of glad to have that kind of a boss? Huh? Praise God. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary?" Yes. "And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us?" Had at least two, maybe three. Amen. "But here's James and Joseph and Simon and Judas." I mean, four brothers and at least two sisters. Big family, wasn't it? Amen. Now, the Catholic Church don't pay any attention to that. I don't know what they do in the Vulgate with that, but it's in the book, folks. It's in the canon of Holy Scripture. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary didn't have any more kids. Amen. That she was immaculately conceived herself and caught up to heaven. I don't believe a word of it. Biggest lie ever hatched out of hell. Amen. It's an effort of corrupted Christianity to copy the heathen. Amen. The heathen goddesses that they took the churches away from, gods and goddesses at Rome, amen, took their churches away from, gave them to the Christians, and the heathen came back to their churches, embraced Christianity, professed Christianity, and renamed their goddesses Mary. Amen. Well, well, well. Amen. Just went back to their same temples. Didn't change their lifestyle any. Continued doing the same things they did. Their priests continued to get drunk and live a voluptuous life. Amen. They still do, as a matter of fact. Amen. Catholic priests go on vacation. Told his friends, said, "I don't really know what I did down there. I used to stay drunk all the time my vacation. I don't remember what all I do." Amen. A big bender for vacation. Amen. Incidentally, the Catholic Church is running out of preachers, and their crimes against society and their wickedness has been so publicized by the media that the people are so ashamed that they're having to consolidate churches. Right in Cincinnati, they're losing people. Right in Cincinnati. Amen. We don't gain anything by copying the liturgy of the heathen. Come on. We think we're in a big class in Christianity, especially Pentecost, if we can copy the forms of the old line churches that are already backslid and lost it a long time ago. We don't need the form of godliness. We need the power. Praise God. I'm talking about when Jesus came home. Here's his brother James, that's the one that wrote the book of James. Joseph and Simon and Judas, that's the one that wrote the book of Jude. And neither one of them were Christians till after Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't even embrace him. And his sisters, are they not all of us? Which then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet. Now this is the word of Jesus, preachers. A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus, God in the flesh, what a homecoming. He came home to unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. How do you preach the gospel? Well, the main thing is live a good life at home where you can always have a good recommendation back home. Amen. And then leave home. Amen. The apostles all had to leave home. Peter had a house in Capernaum. He had a wife there and a mother-in-law there. Amen. He had a house in Capernaum. If Peter had done like a lot of preachers today that live in the Miami Valley, he'd have stayed home and drove back and forth. But there's a limit to how long you can do that. After a while, you run out of back and forth. Amen. After a while, you run out of places to go. Brother Bruce Cole built a house over here on Milliken Road. Amen. Lived there for a good while and drove up and down through the valley and had a good ministry for a while. But Brother Bruce Cole, in this day when you got an automobile, you can drive a little further and do a little better staying home than you used to could because of the automobile. Amen. Jesus leaving Nazareth and going down to Capernaum was like a two-day trip in a car. Amen. Took about 2 days, depending on what kind of load you carried, to get all the way down from Nazareth, amen, down to Capernaum. So he was 2 days from home. Huh? That's at least 500 miles away, huh? Amen. Maybe six. That's not how far it is from Nazareth to Capernaum, but that's equivalent in modern travel time. Amen. So with an automobile, you can, I can preach at Hazard and come home and sleep in my own bed. I've done that, and then drive back and preach the next night. I've done that. Amen. I held revival in the church back in the country from Lille down below London and drove back and forth every night down I-75 and held revival down there. A little bit expensive the way gas is nowadays. Come on. Amen. But the first thing you got to do is realize that you're nobody when you're back home. A young preacher told me, Brother Collins, said we'd like to move back up there somewhere and settle down back up in the Miami Valley somewhere. And I said, you'd be welcome as far as I'm concerned. But I said, just remember this, son. I called his name, and maybe I shouldn't use his name here today. I said, back home, you're just so-and-so. I said, down here, you're somebody. Amen. It makes a big difference if you're going to preach. Huh? Praise God. So you need to leave home, but before you leave home, you need a story to tell. Come on. You need a real experience with God yourself. If you can't tell an experience with God yourself, how God saved you and separated you from the world and filled you with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't got anything to tell, what are you going to tell? There may be a limit to how many times you can tell it at home. They've already heard it and already know it and already know what you're going to say when you get up. And they run down the road and sit down in front of you like the hare outrunning the tortoise. Amen. They run down the road and sit down in front of you. Amen. And flip through the Bible and read what they want to while you're preaching, because they already know what you're going to say. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. I mean, Buster Wilson preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Amen. And he preached that message about going to hell from a church pew, and how he visited his buddies, his old buddies in prison, how some of them got saved, and how it'd be more profitable to go to heaven from prison than to go to hell from a church pew. He preached that all over the country. Amen. And you can do that if you change places once in a while. Amen. But you need a story to tell, so tell a story. Paul Harvey was one of the highest paid in his height of his career. I mean, about 15 years ago, he was still one of the highest paid public speaker there was. Paul Harvey got $20,000 per engagement. You know what he did? He told a story. He had a story to tell. Paul Harvey had done his book work. Amen. Don't you listen to these fellas that say, you need to get up there behind the pulpit by faith. You can't do any good reading books. Amen. You better do like Vince Wilson told me. He said, son, read a lot. Don't worry about memorizing. He said, read. Read a lot. And said, when you get up there, it'll come to you. Praise God. You need to read. You need a story to tell. You need something to say. Amen. Jesus preached to them with parables, and they understood it. Have you understood all these things? They said, yea, Lord. Praise God. You need to take something with you when you go. Amen. Had a big row out in Oklahoma City. I was preaching on Southeast 19th Street. Amen. And I got led into it by accident. The young people's having a Bible study on Sunday night for church. Amen. And the boy that was leading the Bible study said, Brother Collins, said, we've been studying about the Holy Ghost. And he said, we've been discussing the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And they said, do you believe there's any difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? And I said, no, there isn't. It's the same person. Folks, there's not four in the Trinity. There's only three. Amen. And man, I got to this guy. I said, it's called the Holy Ghost 90 times. Amen. It's called the Holy Spirit 7 times. And the pastor was standing in the door right there getting redder in the face all the time as I explained to the kids, amen, in this Bible study that the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit was the same guy. Amen. Well, he was still all head up when we got back to the parsonage. Amen. And he began to explain it to me. So I happened to have a copy of Richard Crane's book with me, Holy Ghost Power from On High. And he has a paragraph, whole paragraph in there telling us that he's called the Holy Ghost 90 times and the Holy Spirit 7 times. And I got this book out, good holiness man, good humble holiness godly man, Brother Richard Crane, amen. And the pastor said, I don't believe in books, and I believe in the Bible. Amen. I'll tell you something. Amen. If it's worth preaching, it's worth writing. You hear me? If it's worth preaching, it's worth writing. Amen. And if it's worth writing, it's worth reading Are you listening to me? If it's worth writing, it's worth reading. And we need good literature to read. You know why the church got into many errors and false doctrines? Because they had a lack of literature to read, and that's why many writers came out with these so-called lost books of the Bible, and people read it because they didn't have nothing else to read. And it influenced their thinking. Amen. Now, we need good folks to write good things to read. I've been delinquent along that line. Amen. But thank God we've got thousands of little white cassette tapes out there that have become our John the Baptist, which is our forerunner. Not only our forerunner, amen, it is our message. Somebody wants me to write my life story, said all you got to do, listen to all them tapes, it's all in there. My daughter wanted me to give her some things on the life story. It just aggravated me. All she got to do is listen to those tapes. Amen. And I just hate to have to tell it over and over again when I've exerted my last ounce of strength under the anointing of God to tell it right behind the pulpit. Praise God. Amen. But if it's worth preaching, it's worth writing. Somebody wrote down what these preachers said. Somebody wrote down what Jeremiah said. Somebody wrote down what Jesus said. They wrote it down for us to read, praise God. The Bible has a gift called helps. Do you know there's a gift in the Bible called helps? Amen. Among pastors, evangelists, and teachers, and so forth, there's a gift called helps. You know what that is? That's men of God. Among other things, that's men of God who write down explanations and notations and explain scriptures that are vague. Amen. Due to the change in language, praise God. They write down notes and they, amen, are our helps. That's why we've got a Strong's Concordance. Mr. Strong, amen, added in us a concordance. That's why we've got Cruden's Concordance. That's why we've got Matthew Henry. That's why we've got a Dake Bible, a Pentecostal author, if you please. Amen. You say, I don't believe in Dake. Well, write one yourself then. You don't believe in the helps that God's given us, then you're duty bound and obligated to write one yourself. Amen. You say, I don't believe all these guys says. Amen. Well, when you go to eat fish, you don't swallow the bones, do you? Huh? Amen. Bub Ivy came home drunk. Amen. Joe and Minnie lived up above our house, and Bub Ivy, they lived in a one-room log cabin with a little kitchen built on the back of it, so they had two rooms. Amen. Bub Ivy came home drunk and hungry, and he ate the fish, bones and all. That's why a lot of people get sick. They don't know how to spit out the bones. Praise God. Hey, what do you do when you eat fish? If you're a country boy like I, you don't fillet them. I always hated to fillet fish because I came up poor. We ate the whole thing. We ate the fish off the bones and left the bones. Come on. Amen. And when you fillet fish, you're throwing a whole lot of meat away with those bones, the meat between those bones. You're throwing it away. And we was all hungry, protein starved, if you will. Amen. So we didn't fillet fish, nobody. Sometimes we cooked head and all. And did you know there's a lot of meat on a catfish's head? Amen. There is. Amen. Dad, you skin head and all. Because we didn't have that much protein. Amen. But we didn't eat the skull. Even us kids had better sense than that. I carried a bone out of a sucker in my throat for a week one time because I'd swallowed a bone. They said, eat a big wad of cornbread when you're eating bony fish, and suckers was bony. And we didn't know how to fillet them then so it wouldn't be bony. I'm fixing them now where you eat them just like crappie fillet and taste just as good. We didn't know how to do it then. Amen. As a matter of fact, we didn't fillet nothing. We was throwing too much away. And so we had to learn how to eat fish. They said the old timers, the meat went in one side and the bones came out the other. And they just kept eating. Amen. And I never could make it work for me. I never could just go ahead and take a big bite of fish, you know, and the bones work their way out. I had to pick them out. You had to learn to pick out the bones. You say, I wouldn't eat bony fish if you get hungry enough, you will. Amen. We catch those little bitty horny heads. Those horny heads is sucker fish that's just about that long. And I'd catch them shoaling in Big Creek, splashing out on the bank, and I'd slip up with my cane pole, throw my line out. Of course, when I'd slip up, I'd scare them back into the deeper water. Amen. But I'd wait till they swum across my line and then jerk, and I'd catch a mess of horny heads. The only thing about catching a mess of horny heads was you had to get them home fast because they rotted pretty quick. Amen. And if you had to walk very far, they wasn't too good when you got them home. Amen. And so we'd skin a little scale a little horny head sucker fish, and the bones was so small. They're full of bones, but they're small and limber, and you could, if you fried them brittle enough, eat bones and all. Amen. Well, I'm telling you the value of having just good sense, folks. What you read, learn to assimilate what's good and spit out what ain't good. Amen. But read. Have a story to tell. Have a message to give. Praise God. And I want you to notice, amen, that Jesus healed the sick. And because he healed the sick and did mighty works, he had a ministry everywhere he went. Amen. And that too is in this Matthew chapter 13 and chapter after chapter after chapter of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Now, the missionary last night told you, Brother Anthony, is that his name? Anthony Sosa, amen, preached that message last night and told how that God used him to heal that lady with epilepsy. Amen. Epileptic fits, and how that, and as a result of healing that lady, and how he wasn't a healing evangelist. Amen. But God used him a way, long way from home. Now, if he had attempted to step out in his own home church where he was brought up and heal a woman with epilepsy, nobody paid any attention to him. Amen. But here God knew he could use him. Praise God. That's one thing to have faith, and one thing to be healed yourself. It's another thing to generate that faith where you can appropriate it to somebody else. God told Brother Branham early in his ministry, if you can get the people to believe, I withhold nothing from you. Amen. Even cancer will be healed, he said. Hopeless cancer. Be healed. Glory to God. And God did that. Praise God. Listen to what Jesus said. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. Jesus, when he left home, healed the sick. And then as a result of healing the sick, he rode the wave. The revival that it brought. Praise God. Leave home. Go into the highways and the hedges. Suffer if necessary to preach the gospel. Don't even dream or think that you're going to have unbounded success at home, sleeping in your own bed every night. You're not going to do it. Jesus couldn't do it, and you're not going to do it. And you'll wind up bitter, and you'll wind up frustrated, and you'll wind up, my Lord, have mercy. We don't have enough positions in this church to fill with boys that would like to stay home. Amen. Come home once in a while. It's good to touch home. It's good for me to go back to Arkansas once in a while. It's good for me to go over to Midway to meeting once in a while. And boy, I'd have a good meeting, Sherry Wayne, for about 3 nights. And then they realize, well, that's still Junior. Amen. He was raised up right here. We've known him since he's a barefooted boy. Amen. We've known him since he was a kid. Amen. Hey, don't even dream. Don't even imagine. Praise God. You're going to have to leave home, but you're going to have something to tell. Amen. And when God opens the door and God performs a miracle, ride the wave. Stay with it. I know a preacher right there on this Miami Valley, amen, that God could give him a good revival, and he'd leave it because something was going on, amen, across the country, some big meeting, and he was too nosy and too curious to miss it. He'd leave his own revival to head out across the country to some meeting that somebody else was holding. Children, there ain't no future in that. Amen. Ride the wave. God gives you a move of God. Make the most of it. Praise God. Don't leave a move of God. Hallelujah. I had that experience. Amen. I was in revival in Powhatan, Arkansas. It's about 50 miles from my hometown. They wanted me to pastor the church. Dear old Brother Davis, who was blind, felt like God showed him that I was supposed to pastor the church. The only thing, God didn't tell me that I was supposed to pastor the church. Amen. And I felt like God would tell me if he wanted me to pastor the Powhatan Pentecostal church. Amen. But I had a mighty move of God going. And sinners, the night I closed out the meeting, I was due to start revival on Sunday night, a tent meeting, which was about my fourth or fifth meeting in McAllister, Oklahoma, and Brother Richie was going to pitch a 40 by 60 tent and set up several hundred chairs, and they said back then, you know, that a 40 by 60 tent would seat around 1,000 people if you see them close together. Amen. And we were going to have a big tent meeting in McAllister, Oklahoma. On a Saturday night, God was moving in Powhatan, Arkansas. Sinners, one big old sinner man sitting in the back for about in the church where Brother Robbins was sitting this morning. I mean, bowed over in his seat on a Saturday night, just boo-hooing under conviction, about to get saved. God was moving in Powhatan, Arkansas. God was pouring out his spirit in Powhatan, Arkansas. Amen. I called Brother Richie. I said, Brother Richie, I don't feel like I ought to leave the meeting. God's moving in this meeting in Powhatan. He said, well, sir, we're going to go ahead and start the tent meeting anyway if you can't come. Well, I let that influence me to close out my meeting on Saturday night and drive all night long. When the sun came up the next day, I was driving into the prairie on a beautiful summer morning. Amen. Heading for McAllister, Oklahoma. Amen. I got there to start that meeting on Sunday night. It didn't get off the ground on Sunday night. It didn't get off the ground on Monday night. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It didn't get off the ground. Well, We're in the wrong part of McAllister. All the men got together and we pulled up the stakes, amen, and moved the tent across town and started a week in another part of town. It didn't get off the ground on Sunday night. It didn't get off the ground on Monday night. I had left the revival to go to another big meeting. And it didn't turn out to be a big meeting after all. A failure, if you please. Amen. One of my only tent meetings was a failure. Amen. Move of God in Alto Pass, Illinois. Spirit of God moving every service like it does oftentimes at the Highway of Holiness. Praise God. In this 24-year camp meeting we've been having around the Highway of Holiness. Amen. Woo, glory. Amen. I'd had two great meetings and preachers had got saved and come out of those meetings. Men got saved and became preachers. Preachers came out of those meetings. Had two great meetings in Mobile, Alabama with Brother Ralph Harley. Amen. And I'm scheduled again to go down there and preach another revival meeting. Gonna have another big one in Millertown Holiness Church. Sister Dolly Brown voiced my feelings exactly when she came around to him and said, "You might as well stay here." Amen. That peptic ulcer had already flared up after youth camp the summer before. I'd had it all the way through winter. And it'd flare up every year at youth camp. I'd have to have the elders anoint me and God would heal me. Amen. It had already flared up again and stayed flared up for a good while. Amen. We had church after church on Sunday night. We finally, somewhere around midnight, the chariot wheels drag heavily. We got started toward Mobile, Alabama. Amen. Well, I was carrying a bottle of Pepto-Bismol beside me in my seat for my other comforter. Taking a swig of Pepto-Bismol. Amen. For my ulcer. As a matter of fact, you still can't take anything better for ulcers than Pepto-Bismol. Bismol is from the word bismuth, and they found out that bismuth is the best treatment medically that you can have for the virus that causes ulcers. Amen. So I had the right thing as far as medical was concerned, but I was going the wrong direction. And when you're going the wrong direction, the best medicine and all the prayers of all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so here goes Humpty Dumpty back to Mobile to have another great revival at God's move. God don't always get in a pattern, folks. He don't always go with us when we have a certain pattern. Amen. Well, I was feeling so bad by the time I got to the Tennessee border, I felt like getting out of the car, finding a payphone, and calling Brother Holly and saying, "Brother Holly, I feel like I'm out of the will of God. I need to go back home." But I'd given my word. Amen. And I believe that a preacher ought to keep his word. And so I had to drive down there and at least start, keep my word. Well, on the way down, I took intestinal flu. I mean, the works. I had intestinal flu and preached every night sick. Amen. And then at the end of the first week, when I should be over the intestinal flu, the pain was still there. The waves were getting closer together. And then, in the beginning of the second week of revival, I began to hemorrhage. Pure black blood that turned red in the stool. Amen. The life was gradually ebbing out of my body. Brother Harley begged me to go to the hospital, go to the doctor, get checked up. I said, I can't. I was like a little black boy that couldn't afford to go to the doctor, so I just had the tummy ache instead. Amen. And I didn't go. On Wednesday night, I said, Brother Harley, I'm closing the meeting. This is the second week. Those days, you didn't have a valve. You didn't stay 2 weeks. You had to stay 2 weeks to reap the full harvest. Nowadays, amen, with the automobile and travel the way it is, and we're up to here with activity in the church, a week is a long time. Back then, you didn't even have a revival for a week. They didn't even call it a revival. A few nights meeting. Amen, it was a two-week revival or nothing. Middle of the second week, I said, I gotta close this revival and go home while I'm able to travel. Amen. Well, I climbed my 59 Buick and headed down the road. At that time, the speed limit was 70 miles an hour, and I was going 80. Amen. I mean down country roads, country highway. I was headed home. I did the wrong thing when you got a bad case of ulcers. I fasted. When I bought hamburgers and french fries for the rest of the family, I fasted. You know, you can get fat on a set of ulcers because you drink a lot of half and half and a lot of food and a lot of milk to lubricate them. Amen. And I'd been doing a lot of that. But I was fasting now on the way home. But in my heart I knew I was getting back in the will of God. I prayed every promise in the Bible and throwed it at the devil and rebuked the devil. I pleaded the redeeming blood and told the devil I didn't belong to him, and because I was redeemed, he had no right to touch me. I come against every demon of affliction. I pleaded the blood, the stripes, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. And on the way home, I prayed through. And I knew I was healed. Amen. And the next day or so, I went back to work for Charles Mayberry Jr. Best I remember, we was building a Baptist church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Amen. God had touched my body. And from that day to this, praise God, 1961, in the springtime, praise God, I've never had any more trouble with ulcers. Hallelujah. God healed me. Amen. And all I had to do was get back in the will of God. Hey, what are you preaching about, preacher? I'm preaching when God moves for you, ride the wave. Stay with it. Amen. Go with God. I've had preachers tell me, Brother Cons, if you ever make an appointment with me and you don't feel led to come, just tell me. But they don't really mean that. Because when they get out the advertisement that you're coming, they expect you to show up. And Brother Bill Addis said, my advice is to show up, to go. Amen. Because your word is very important. Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God. When in most cases, if we stay home and don't go into all the world and preach the gospel, there won't be any waves to ride. What kind of revival would Anthony have had in Mexico if he'd have stayed home? What kind of revival would he have had at home if he'd stayed home? Or even if he'd have stayed with his dad? But he pitched a tent in the highways and hedges, and God healed that girl. Amen. Those at epilepsy, and he rode the wave and started a healing, deliverance, revival. Jesus healed the sick everywhere except Nazareth. He could there. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's the last verse of Matthew chapter 13. Amen. That's Jesus homecoming. It's good to touch home once in a while. Amen. But I'd have never been L.L. Collins if I'd have stayed home, Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And you'd have never heard tell of any such ministry. And most of the songs I wrote in the thick of the fight. Praise God. I had resigned my church in Middletown, Ohio, and kissed my family goodbye tearfully. And I was holding back. I built a new house on Elk Creek Road, and we had so enjoyed living in that new house just north of Trenton on Elk Creek Road. Now I've resigned my church, my kids are in school, and I've got to go. I've got an appointment for revival in Norman, Oklahoma, January the 31st, amen, 1972, with Hamus Crawford. And I headed up the road. I really broke down and cried when I got up about where Dick and Bonnie lives. They wasn't even saved then and probably didn't even live there, but I was there on Elk Creek Road. And I cried till I couldn't see the road. But you know what the Bible said? He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the scripture God gave me. Amen. In the midst of it all, we'd never been apart. My wife and I had never been apart for 15, 16 years. Amen. At that time, we went over here together. We stood right up in the pulpit and sang together. Amen. My family was always with me for years. Amen. Boy, I could sing that old song, "I'll never be lonely again, never again." But here I am, leaving my wife and my children and going to preach the gospel. And a little refrain began to cross my mind. I'm going to pray if I pray by myself. I'm going to stand if I have to stand alone. It's cheap at any price to make it to glory. If they can't go, I'm going anyway. And that's where the song was born. It was born with me leaving home. Amen. And that's why we help preachers that come our way. Amen. It's a heavy load to leave home and live in a strange land, even under the best of circumstances. Amen. But when things are extraneous, amen, and circumstances are not too good, and you don't know where the next meal's come from, Randy Jones, and the gas tank's empty, and the bank account is too. Amen. You know, amen, because you left home. Praise God. Hey, stand with me and let's pray for the preachers. Father, we pray for the men of God that have left all to follow Christ. We pray for the men of God, oh Lord, that's carrying that burden. Hallelujah, that have gone forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Hallelujah. And we know that they doubtless shall come again, bringing their sheaves with them. Oh, glory to God. And when they come home, may they come home a person that generates confidence and pride in those that would launch out and go all out for Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come around the altar and let's talk to God about it.